From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we move ever closer to Easter Sunday and the Easter Triduum as well, but Easter Sunday and the resurrection and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we indeed this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be rejoice and be glad in it, and we're glad to welcome in Rabbi Seth Kesselman, who is the head of the wonderful Exodus Project here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Rabbi, good day. Good to have you on the program.
Good day to you, Bob. Always nice to be here with you.
Yes, thanks. Thanks so much for joining us. Tell us, just give a thumbnail for people who haven't heard of the Exodus Project. It's growing by leaps and bounds, and a lot of people are very excited about it. But just give us a sort of a thumbnail of the project.
Sure, happy to. Exodus Project came out of the vision of Bishop Soto to be a reentry organization under St. Vincent de Paul to help folks coming out of prison and jail in the diocese and help people get back on their feet. We help with counseling, with one-on-one mentoring, with transportation and clothing. We help people get jobs and get back in school. We help people with housing, full sort of wraparound support for people. We have offices in Solano, and our main office is in Sacramento.
And Solano is relatively new.
Yes, Solano started just at the beginning of this year to help people coming out of the jails in Fairfield.
How do you pick which counties you're going to go into?
Well, some of it has to do with funding. So Solano County actually approached us and said, hey, do you want to come and do a new program here to help people coming out of county jail? Mm-hmm. And we said, sure, we'd be happy to. And we've been talking to Yolo County some. We help people some around Placer and El Dorado, sort of spill over from Sacramento County.
So you're dealing with what, your county boards of supervisors or sheriffs, or who are you dealing with?
Exactly, all of the above. Mm-hmm. Some with the supervisors, some with the sheriff's department, some with Department of Human Assistance. Some with probation, some with the public defender.
Sure.
Yeah, we have good relationships with all of them.
Is the reception, at least when you were quote-unquote selling the program, was it reception from officialdom relatively positive?
It was, and actually in Sacramento we were told something like this probably won't work, but if anybody can do it, the diocese and St. Vincent de Paul could do it.
Oh, that's great.
So it was. Yeah.
And it was put under the auspices of St. Paul just because that's the kind of thing that they kind of project that might work under their model.
Exactly. It's very similar to the other work that they do where they go out in pairs and visit people in their homes. Very similar to Exodus started ostensibly as a mentoring program. And then we built around it all the other resources that we now have.
I remember at your annual dinner, I think it was in the fall, Bishop Soto mm-hmm. told a short story about how when he was in Orange County, he had escorted a woman whose husband was going to be released from jail that evening, and they sat in the parking lot for quite a long time. And as they sat there, he realized he would see men come out of the jail and walk off into the night. And that led to a program of sorts there, at least a place like, I think, an RV where they could get a cup of coffee and talk to people. And that really struck him. Where are they going? And what are the chances they're not going to end up right back where they came out of?
Exactly. And currently, Exodus Project is a 9-to-5 program, Monday through Friday. But we're trying to get some funding to open a reception center in Sacramento to be able to be a 24/7 spot that people can come to and get assistance and get some hope.
Wow, 24/7, that's ambitious, isn't it? But probably very necessary.
Yes.
Is it true that
there's a lot of jail releases in the middle of the night?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Is it true that generally people are released in the middle of the night?
I would say, I don't know if it's a third or you know, after hours, something like that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do most of them have someone that picks them up, or?
Yes and no. A lot of them don't. A lot of them are homeless. A lot of them, the only people that will pick them up in the middle of the night are probably not the best people for them to be around.
Right.
Or the people that they can get to aren't necessarily the, you know, the safest and soberest houses to go to. And a lot of them don't have phones when they get out, or their phone's not charged, or they have a phone but not a charger, or the phone got lost in the property of the
right.
Sheriff's Department, all sorts of things.
So, and you provide mentors for them.
That's right. We train people like your listeners, regular community members. We do a 17, 18-hour training over a couple of weeks, and then we match people up one-on-one, men with men and women with women, to be a mentor, to be a cheerleader, a coach, an assistant in people's reentry. And it gives people, and sometimes they go in and visit first while they're still in jail and start to build a rapport. And then they might, you know, go to an AA meeting with them, or go to a job interview with them, or go to lunch together, that sort of thing.
And how do the people who are incarcerated, who are going to be getting out shortly, how do they find out about you? And I presume the program is completely voluntary for them.
Absolutely right. So some of it's referral by probation, by the public, by their public defender, by their attorney. A lot of it is word of mouth in the jail. People send in applications from the jail, and they get scanned and emailed over to us. And then myself and one of my colleagues goes in and visits people while they're still in. People show up every day at our office just because they got a flyer, or they heard about it, or they know about it. So a lot of it's word on the street, but we also get a lot of referrals from other agencies.
Are there people that you won't or can't take?
Not really. I mean, sometimes we have certain funding from certain, you know, pools of money that's only for certain people that fall into this category or that
right.
category. But most
right.
of our resources are available to most anyone who's been incarcerated.
Very good.
Yeah.
So you were looking.
And we just recently got some money. Sorry, I was just
no,
saying
go ahead.
We just recently got some money from Dignity Health, and we've started some mindfulness and centering prayer classes. That we're now doing for people who have been previously incarcerated. So we have ongoing, at least for the next 8 weeks, and then we'll take a break for a month, and then we'll start another 8 week series. So we also try to work with the spiritual dimension as well.
That was my next question, was about the Power of the Mind Mindfulness Meditation Series, an 8 week series with you and Michael Lynch. Tell us a little bit about that.
Michael's a former priest and a Catholic priest, and teaches centering prayer in Folsom Prison and elsewhere. And we started a group together. It just started this last Monday, but people are still welcome to join. We discuss the trials and tribulations of being human. Why do we suffer? Why are we unhappy when we all want to be happy? And then we do some meditation practice and try to learn how to move from reactivity to responsiveness and understand how reactivity is what leads to most of our suffering when we grasp at things that we want, or we get angry and react out of anger or fear. And that if we can learn to take a breath between emotion and action, we can often make a wiser, kinder, more evolved choice in our lives. And that's a lot of what meditation practice and mindfulness practice helps us with.
Wow.
So that's a lot of what the group is about.
Boy, you know, that's so true. I mean, not all crime, certainly, but certainly a fair amount of crime is almost impulse, where you lost control temporarily and did something that, and sometimes you regret for the rest of your life. But you certainly, sometimes you regret it right away, and unfortunately, it ends up maybe with you being incarcerated.
Absolutely. And for the rest of us who haven't been incarcerated, much of our suffering, I think, also comes from.
Sure does. Yep.
Whether it's addictive craving or anger or fear or, a lot of the same emotions, maybe on a different level, but not so different.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. We've all said or done things that we regret, especially when they've hurt somebody, whether it's somebody, I guess, especially when it's somebody we love, but when it hurts anybody, loved them, it hurt them, and they're all God's children.
Yep.
So
exactly.
How does this work? That will take place at Exodus headquarters, the Power of the Mind?
Exactly, at 2324 L Street in Midtown Sacramento. Mm-hmm. We meet from 3 to 4 on Monday afternoons. People can call our office for more information at 916-669-0611. And anyone who has a experience in the criminal justice system is welcome to join us.
And you'll even provide transportation?
That's right. We give out bus passes. We give people rides. We help people get there. We give out a gift card if you come to six of the workshops. We'll give you a $75 gift card.
So every Monday at 3 o'clock, right in Midtown Sacramento.
That's right.
Yeah, very good.
That's right.
Very good.
Then we're also with Solano. We have with our new program in Solano, we're going to have a mentor training in May, and we're recruiting new mentors. So if anybody's interested in potentially becoming a mentor and getting trained for that, they can reach out to the same phone number, 916-669-0611, or go to our website, exodus-project.org, and I'll personally send them an application and then talk to them and meet with them. And it could be anybody from Yolo County, Solano County, anybody in that area that would be interested in being a mentor.
Will you have an office in Solano County?
We do. We have an office in the jail, and we have an office in the community in Fairfield.
Fairfield, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So you're looking for mentors from anywhere, but presumably more convenient, certainly, if they're in Dixon or Vacaville or Fairfield or Suisun or somewhere like
exactly.
Vallejo. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very good.
Yep.
How will that program be?
We'll even take Benicia.
Or Benicia, sure. Yeah. I think we've named them all. Maybe Elmira. There's one.
Right.
Very small town. Will that program be as big as the one in Sacramento ultimately?
Certainly, I don't know. I mean, it's right now we have this one contract with the county to serve a small number of people every year. So I don't think so. But you know, Sacramento didn't start out real big either, but Sacramento is definitely a bigger metropolitan area. So I don't imagine Solano will grow to be the same size. But we'll see. We'll see. We aim to serve people wherever they are.
Indeed. Explain the 17-hour mentor training.
Right. So a lot of it's actually led by formerly incarcerated individuals who do role plays with the new mentors. We do some training on boundaries. We do training on addiction and recovery. We do work with communication and mental health, some beginnings of mental health. Some of it's about how to, you know, some of the logistics of going to visit somebody in jail. And then role plays of having conversations and having meetings and what works and what doesn't work. And so it's a fruitful time. People usually leave saying, wow, I didn't expect it to be so interesting and engaging and inspiring. So I think we have a quite a good training.
And most of the people that take the training go on and become mentors.
That's right. Yeah. Probably about 90% of them.
Oh, that's a good figure.
We hope people will last at least a year. Yes, exactly. And some people have been doing it for 5-6 years already.
So, So the training will take place Thursday, May 9, from 6:30 to 9 p.m., Saturday, May 11th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Thursday, May 16th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, May 18th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So two Thursdays and two Saturdays consecutive.
Two Saturdays.
And
And if somebody has to miss one of them, we do record it. We do videotape it. And if somebody had to miss one of the sessions, they can make that up by watching it at a different time.
And put yourself in the shoes of a rookie mentor or a brand new newly minted mentor. What can they expect in terms of when they first how will they hook up with somebody, and how does that go from there?
Right. So the first meeting, either myself or our director of mentoring, is always present with them. So they're not thrown in cold. It's the three of us. It's the mentor, the mentee, and myself meeting and talking. And there's always the opportunity after the first meeting for either the mentor or the mentee to say, you know, I don't think this is such a good fit.
Uh-huh.
So we try to make matches that are good connections. But, you know, if it's not a good connection, we'll match you with somebody else. In the beginning, it's a lot of listening. It's a little bit of sharing about yourself, but a lot of it is listening and asking leading questions. We do a training in motivational interviewing, which is about open-ended questions that help people talk about change and move towards making changes in their life, and helping people prioritize. They come out of jail and they've got 27 things that they need to get done, and sort of, okay, what's the most important? Where should we start? Getting a phone, getting a driver's license. Okay, then we can move on to looking for jobs and job search, and, you know, helping people to prioritize in the midst of feeling overwhelmed by their situation. So good listeners, good people, with good interpersonal skills, people that have their own experience with suffering, with incarceration, with recovery, with addiction, with loss and grief. Those are actually all assets to being a mentor.
I know each individual is truly an individual, but are there regular problem areas where you have more difficulty with a mentor mentee?
Well, with the mentees, sometimes they ghost their mentors. They are excited at the beginning, and then after they get started and after they get out, that we don't hear from them again. And that can be disappointing for a mentor.
Sure.
Mentors, it's a lot around keeping appropriate boundaries. And we have some, you know, rules around, you know, you don't exchange money. You don't give them money, even if they ask. And sometimes mentors want to do more than they should.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about sort of being in balance with meeting them where they are, and the mentee needs to be putting out effort and needs to be showing up, and you're not the one to fix everything for them.
Right.
So those are some of the challenges, but we also have monthly check-in meetings as a group of mentors with our director of mentoring and myself sometimes to talk about what's been going on and what's been working and what hasn't been working for each person and collectively.
Beyond the mentoring, what is your office able to do in terms of helping with things like housing, employment, those things?
So we have a great employment specialist in Sacramento, Tommy DeLuna, who helps people get jobs, get into training. We have a new grant to get people from SMUD to get people into solar installation training and get solar installation jobs.
Wow.
So we have a very good track record of getting people jobs, or for people that want to go back to school and get their GED or an AA or a BA, we can help people with all of that. Housing is a bit harder. We've had transitional houses in the past, and through some unfortunate bad luck, the funding ran out for us to... the organization we were running the houses with folded, and we had to close our houses. We do still offer a lot of people hotel stays for a few nights when they first get out, and we're trying to reopen some houses. And we do everything we can to help people get into a shelter, stay with a friend, if they have some money, find a room and board or a room for rent for them. So we do what we can to help people find housing. And then also helping them find a job means they'll be able to pay for their own housing.
Yeah. Do most employers that you approach hesitate, or are they pretty open to this or not?
A lot of people are open to it. It's been a good employment market in the last few years. It just depends, and it's often on a case-by-case basis. You know, they want to see the person and see how they fit in. And sometimes we're getting employers that we're approaching and we're saying we're a reentry organization. And other times we're just going on Indeed with an individual client and saying, hey, here's a job, apply for this. Mm-hmm. And helping them with their resume and helping them with their interview clothing and doing mock interviews with them and maybe helping them get to their interview.
Well, that's obviously one of the, I'm just sitting here as a layperson and you know a lot better than I do, but it sure seems to me that's one of the keys is employment.
Yes. And it's one of the keys and it's one of the easier ones. The mental health, the addiction, and the housing are the harder ones.
Talk about addiction specifically. So many people are going to be addicts. How do you as an organization deal with that?
So we have a social worker who does counseling, including addiction counseling. We refer a lot of people to the county for getting assessed for treatment, for inpatient or outpatient treatment. So we do a lot of that. We do a lot of encouraging around AA and NA and bringing people to meetings or having mentors go to meetings with them if it's an open meeting. So it's a big part of the work that we do is helping people in their path to recovery. And of course, the hard work is on the individual. They need to be ready. We can't do it for them. But when they are ready, we try to be there for them to support them in that difficult journey.
Even while they're incarcerated, are most of them that are addicts, are they actually doing drugs behind bars?
It happens. I'm not sure about most of them.
Uh-huh.
For a lot of them, this is that they're sober when they're locked up. And the tricky part is then when they're all enthusiastic about, I'm going to stay sober when I get out. I feel so much better now. Mm-hmm. And the tricky part is when you get back to the streets, especially if you're homeless, it's very hard to
stay right.
sober. But even if you're not homeless and you run into your old buddies or somebody offers it to you here or somebody offers it to you there, whether it's alcohol or methamphetamines or fentanyl or heroin, whatever it may be, it's hard to stay away from it. It's easier to be sober when you're inside.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, again, the mentor training is, mentee training, mentor training, is 17 hour, training coming up beginning May 9, May 11, May 16, May 18, two Thursday, evenings and two Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Will that also take place in Sacramento, or will that take place in Solano County?
That will take place in Fairfield.
At 660 Kentucky Street.
So we're looking for folks that are, or at one of the Catholic churches. We're not exactly sure on the location yet. 660 Kentucky is our offices there, but depending on how big our group is, we'll probably do it at one of the parishes.
Very good. Very good.
Yep.
And, I attended your annual dinner with my daughter and one of my daughters, and she said that she had talked to an individual. She took me over and introduced him to me, and he told me he was, I think the group he was in was Underground Scholars, and he was actually a student at UC Davis. I was just mind-boggling.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. There are programs at the UCs, at the Sac State and the other state colleges, and also at the community college level for returning citizens. Yeah. Right.
Well, that's another key, I would think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What about if somebody listening right now and they said, well, I don't have the ability or the desire or whatever to be a mentor, but I'd sure like to help. I'd like to make a donation. How do they do that?
That would be very generous. We definitely need the support. We definitely could use the financial support. They can, again, go to our website at exodus-project.org, exodus-project.org, or they can call us at 916-669-0611. And if they want to talk to me personally, I'm Rabbi Seth Castleman. They can find my extension, and we take credit cards, we take checks, we take boats, we take cars, and your financial donations are greatly appreciated, and we will put it to good work.
Difficult question, I'm sure, but are you able to see, I mean, it sounds like such a great project, and I'm sure it is. Are you able to see the fruits of your labors?
We are. I mean, we see people that struggle and go back inside, and we see a lot of people who really succeed. The tricky part is we have a lot of qualitative data, meaning we have a lot of anecdotal stories and records of people that have succeeded. It's very hard to get recidivism rates from the county, from the state, from the feds to see how many people have been reincarcerated. So we don't have the hard numbers to be able to show, you know, how many people that we've worked with never went back to jail again. But we see a lot of success.
Very, very good. Well, Rabbi, always a joy to talk to you. Thanks for all the great work you're doing out there in the Lord's vineyard. And blessings to you and everybody that you work with there.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate you deeply.
Thanks.
Take good care.
You too. Thank you. That's Rabbi Seth Castleman, who is the head of the Exodus Project here, run through this diocese, the Diocese of Sacramento and the St. Vincent de Paul Society here in the diocese. Also, if you're looking for a wonderful organization to join, consider the Gabriel Project. You can be an angel, and your church can be a host of angels. The Gabriel Project is a church-based ministry supported by the Diocese of Sacramento, supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, which is underway now, in addition with Exodus Project, is supported by that, and St. Vincent de Paul. Gabriel Project, a church-based ministry to support pregnant mothers and their unborn children. They offer immediate and practical help to anyone facing a difficult pregnancy. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel told Mary the good news that a child would be born and that she was to be the mother of our Savior. When she asked, "How can this be?" the angel told her not to be afraid, for nothing is impossible with God. The Gabriel Project announces the same comforting message to frightened pregnant mothers. Fear not, for God is with you. Nothing is impossible with God. The church community announces that they see in the creation of each child a fresh expression of God's unfailing love and their commitment to offer assistance to pregnant mothers in need. They make their message known on a sign of hope placed in front of their church that also displays the icon depicted on the cover of this of the brochure I'm looking at right now, a beautiful, beautiful icon, along with the expression of outreach, pregnant, need help, and a toll-free number. When a call for help is received, the helpline volunteer contacts the coordinator at the nearest participating church to where the caller lives. The coordinator contacts the caller and makes an initial assessment of their of her situation. A church volunteer, an angel, if you will, is assigned the responsibility for ongoing contact with the mother throughout her pregnancy and somewhat beyond. An initial meeting is arranged to further assess her needs. The parish community accompanies, responds with love by providing spiritual, emotional, and material support to help meet those needs. Through prayer and action, the church community assures the mother that she has their love and the love of Christ. If a mother has been abandoned by family or her child's father, the church community can lovingly help her overcome her sense of loss and loneliness. We were talking with Deacon Danny Patterson about this the other day, and he kept using that word accompany, to accompany the women. by employing their individual talents, collaborating with various ministries in the church or diocese, and utilizing community resources, parishioners stand ready to provide a mother with the kinds of assistance and that she needs in caring for her child. This can include friendship and emotional support, letting somebody know that there are people out there who really care deeply, pastoral care and counseling, transportation, prenatal care, baby items, education, employment, housing, adoption, advice, if that's what they are interested in, financial assistance, and more. The phone number is 800-910-0191. 800-910-0191. You can get a bumper sticker, and it was an excellent way to reach out and to let people know that the help is only a phone call away. This all started in 1973. The pastor of St. Michael Parish in Houston put a sign outside the rectory that said, "If you will have your baby, the parish will help you in every way." What a beautiful, simple message. That was the seed of the Great Gabriel Project. In 1990 and 91, it was developed throughout the Corpus Christi and Galveston, Houston Diocese. What a beautiful name for a diocese, Corpus Christi, and a city, Corpus Christi. It has since spread throughout the country and has merited the enthusiastic endorsement of many Christian leaders. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has stated that the Gabriel Project, developed in the Diocese of Galveston, Houston, is excellent and is spreading across the nation. Volunteers in the parish are trained to help a woman through her pregnancy with practical assistance, spiritual and emotional guidance, and help in assessing needed services. Just a wonderful, wonderful project here in the Diocese of Sacramento. For more information, you can contact the Respect Life office at 916-733-0156 or go to scd.org/Gabriel Project. Very, very easy to do it. So there are a couple of things here that you can get involved in as a volunteer. They can also use your financial support. Maybe you have some baby items you'd like to donate, whether it's diapers or car seats, formula, on and on and on, all kinds of things that are needed. Happy things, toys, etc. Also, or maybe you can provide transportation. So the mentoring for the Gabriel Project, what a great opportunity that is for someone to do something really, really wonderful. And again, that's Rabbi Seth Castleman and all the folks at the Gabriel Project that do such great work. They're going to have their mentor training in Fairfield in Solano County coming up in May, and they would love to see you as well. And also the Gabriel Project and all of what they have to do as well. 916-733-0156. A quick reminder, annual, speaking of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, the 18th annual benefit for the poor, Friday, April 26th, Seeing God's Blessings, starting at 5:30 p.m. at the Doubletree at Arden. For more information or for tickets, contact Denise O'Brien at 279-345-2362. The guest speaker will be Deacon Gene Smith. Wonderful, wonderful. We had a chance to sit down and talk with him. He's a member of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul for 55 years. He served as the national president from 1999 to 2005. He worked in social work and fundraising for the Daughters of Charity and other Catholic sisters in international health care in the poorest countries in the world. The work that he helped the sisters with included building water wells, providing vaccinations for children, improving maternal health, and advocating for health care in lesser developed countries. He also served as director of social services at Seton Medical Center in California. He is currently a deacon at St. Raphael Conference, and that's his church, his parish in San Rafael, California. He will be a dynamic speaker again, 5:30 p.m., the Doubletree at Arden, Friday, April 26th. The phone number to call, 279-345-2362 or svdp-sacramento.org. 279-345-2362. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lori Power, Associate Superintendent with the Catholic School Department. You are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Welcome back. You know, the church, the Diocese of Sacramento, has a wonderful program that people can get involved in, and in your own parish. You may even want to start this in your parish if you don't already have. And we're talking about the Gabriel Project. You can be an angel, and your church can be a host of angels. The Gabriel Project is a church-based ministry to support pregnant mothers and their unborn children. They offer immediate and practical help to anyone facing a difficult pregnancy. The angel Gabriel in the Gospel of Luke, he told Mary the good news that a child would be born and that she was to be the mother of our Savior. When she asked, "How can this be?" the angel told her not to be afraid, for nothing is impossible with God. The Gabriel Project announces the same comforting message to pregnant mothers. Fear not, for God is with you. Nothing is impossible with God. So sometimes people are pregnant, they're frightened, or they're worried, and the Gabriel Project is there to accompany them. The role of the church community announces that they see the creation of each child as a fresh expression of God's unfailing love and their commitment to offer assistance to pregnant mothers in need. They make their message known as on a sign of hope placed in front of their church, which also displays the icon depicted that represents the Gabriel Project with the angel Gabriel and the mother and child. If you're pregnant or need help, there is a toll-free number that people can call, 800-910-0191. When a call for help is received, the helpline volunteers, which could be one of you, contacts the coordinator at the nearest participating church to where the caller lives. The coordinator contacts the caller and makes an initial assessment of her situation. A church volunteer is assigned the responsibility for ongoing contact with the mother throughout her pregnancy and somewhat beyond. An initial meeting is arranged to further assess her specific needs. The parish community responds with love by providing spiritual, emotional, and material support to help meet those needs. Through prayer and action, the church community assures the mother that she has their love and the love of Christ. Again, the word accompaniment. If a mother has been abandoned by family or her child's father, the church community can lovingly help her overcome her sense of loss and loneliness. By employing their individual talents, collaborating with various ministries in the church or diocese, and utilizing community resources, parishioners in a specific parish stand ready to provide a mother with the kinds of assistance that she needs in caring for her child. These can include friendship and emotional support, pastoral care and counseling, transportation, prenatal care, baby items, education, employment, housing, adoption, financial assistance, and much more. You can imagine yourself in any one of those areas where, oh, I have a car, I could drive somebody to doctor's appointments, etc. Everyone can make pregnant mothers in need of help aware of the Gabriel Project by simply putting a bumper sticker on their vehicle. It says, pregnant, need help? Call 800-910-0191 and let people know that help is only a phone call away. And give you a little history of the Gabriel Project. In 1973, the pastor of St. Michael Parish in Houston put a sign outside the rectory that said simply, if you will have your baby, this parish will help you in every way. What a comforting message that was. That was the seed of the Gabriel Project. It was developed throughout the Corpus Christi and Galveston, Houston diocese. It has since spread throughout the country and has merited the enthusiastic endorsement of many Christian leaders. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has stated that the Gabriel Project, developed in the Diocese of Galveston, Houston, is excellent and is spreading across the nation. Volunteers in the parish are trained to help a woman through her pregnancy with practical assistance, spiritual and emotional guidance, and help in assessing their needed services. Your help is needed. The participation of many churches is critical to the success of the Christian outreach to pregnant mothers in need. The easiest thing is for churches to participate. The more, the better. To this end, printed materials, training of church volunteers, and overall are provided to churches at no cost. So the Gabriel Project is a marvelous way to show the community that your church cares about pregnant mothers in need and that there is no reason for any mother within its boundaries to feel that she is helpless and alone. Here in the diocese, through the Office of Family and Faith Formation, you can contact Danny Patterson at the Respect Life office, 916-733-0156, or go to scd.org/Gabriel Project. Of course, we are in the midst of Holy Week as we move on into the Easter Triduum of Holy Thursday and the Last Supper, Good Friday and the Crucifixion, and Holy Saturday, and then, of course, Easter Sunday in the glory of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I remember a number of years ago, I was with my kids on Good Friday, and we had to head up to the valley for an important reason that's not relevant, but we had to be in the car, and there were four little ones, and they were about 6, 5, 4, and 3, or maybe 5, 4, 3, and 2. They're all a year apart, and they were all very little. And I knew we would be on the road between 12 and 3, and I contacted a parish up near where we were going to be and looked at their Good Friday service and planned to be there. But when we got there, it had already happened, and I don't know if the timing was off or if I got bad information, but it was a little parish up the valley, up in the North State, and pulled into the parking lot, just a sort of makeshift parking lot, and noticed there were no cars, and I thought, wow, we missed it. And noticed the front door of the church had a slight crack in it, and walked in, opened the door, and peeked in, and there was nobody there, but somebody heard us. Somebody came into the church who was cleaning up and said, oh, the service is over. We had to move it. up for some reason. And she said, but you're welcome to come and look around and just close the door on your way out. And so we walked in. And I've heard, you know, people say, well, the Stations of the Cross, they're kind of rough for young children, you know, kind of difficult for young children. And we had the whole church to ourselves. So we were able to walk from one station to the other. And the stations, you know, they vary from church to church, usually, you know, on the wall, all 14 stations. Sometimes I've seen them outdoors. These were indoors. And even though it was a beautiful spring day outside, there were goats and sheep out very near this very rural parish. And so we walked around, and we went to the first one. And none of the kids could read yet, or the five-year-old was just starting to learn. But we walked to each one, and I could take the time to explain and respond to their questions. And it turned out to be one of the most, I mean, every Easter is meaningful. It's just such a memorable, meaningful experience for me and our kids. The first station, of course, Jesus is condemned to die. And, you know, you look at that and you try to explain to a five-year-old, a four-year-old, a three-year-old, a two-year-old, what does that mean? Jesus, it is hard to imagine how you stayed quiet when so many people wanted to hurt you. Be with me when I feel afraid. Remind me to trust in God's love for me. And then you move on to number two. Jesus takes up his cross. And then why is he bearing this cross? Such a heavy load. But Jesus took it on his shoulders, carried it bravely. And we hope he gives us the same courage when we have to do something difficult in our life. And then you move on to station number three. Jesus falls for the first time. Why did he fall? Why is he carrying this cross? The weight of the cross calls him to fall down. And it's just so profound to look at that. All of the stations are they're beautiful in their simplicity, but powerful in their message. Then station number four, Jesus meets his mother. So poignant. Jesus, you saw the sadness in Mary's face when you met her on the road. How painful it was to see you suffering. Fill our hearts with kindness when we meet someone who is sad or in need. And then the fifth station, Simon helps Jesus carry his cross. Simon's help in carrying the cross must have been such a great relief for Jesus. And remind us again, Jesus, how important it is to be helpful when others need our assistance. Station number six, Veronica wipes the face of Jesus. Did you expect a strange woman to come forward to wipe your bleeding face? It was a simple thing to do, and yet it provided so much comfort. Again, we can learn from that example to show small ways we can soothe the pain of others. The seventh station, Jesus falls the second time. So difficult in his journey. The eighth station, Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. You stop to offer encouragement to these grieving women. Let us be someone who stops to help and offer encouragement to others. The ninth station, Jesus falls for the third time. You wonder if that's the end right there. Inspire us, Jesus, to keep going when the way grows long and weary. The tenth station, Jesus is stripped of his garments. The 11th station, Jesus is nailed to the cross. This is where it gets, you know, very difficult and very hard to explain to the kids, but they were into the story at this point, and they wanted to know all about this and why was this happening. The 12th station, Jesus dies on the cross. Show us how to surrender in small ways, even though this was not, You know, Jesus asked that this cup would pass from him. 13th station, Jesus is taken down from the cross. And the 14th station, Jesus is laid in the tomb. So powerful. And if you get the chance during Holy Week, especially on Good Friday, take your family, take your kids, and walk through the stations of the cross. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover, a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in Greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you who have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the Court of Appointed Special Advocate Program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California. And it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
Stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great!